Welcome to the News Hour. Geneva, Switzerland played host today to not one, but two rounds of high-level talks aimed at resolving two separate international disputes.
We start with Iran and a U.S. official who told Reuters that progress was made in roughly 3 hours of indirect talks over limiting Tehran's nuclear program. U.S. Special Envoy Steve Witkoff and President Trump's son-in-law Jared Kushner laid out their case today with mediators from Oman. Speaking to reporters following the talks, Iran's foreign minister said a new window has opened for reaching an agreement, though more work is needed.
We now have a clearer picture of what needs to be done and what needs to be done down the road. Of course, both sides still have positions that need to be brought closer together, but at least now we have a set of guiding principles and a clearer path to follow.
Meantime, Iranian officials temporarily closed the Strait of Hormuz for live-fire military exercises broadcast on Iranian state television. The strait is responsible for the transit of around 20% of the world's oil. It comes as the Pentagon has added more naval firepower to the Middle East in recent weeks, with another aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald Ford, still en route. Back in Geneva, U.S. negotiators Witkoff and Kushner also brokered the first of 2 days of talks with officials from Ukraine and Russia. Russian state media described the talks as tense, and Ukraine's delegation has said they approached the meeting without excessive expectations as the four-year anniversary of Russia's invasion looms next week. A federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to restore a slavery-related exhibit at George Washington's former home in Philadelphia.
I have great news. We just won in federal court.
Supporters celebrated the ruling outside the courthouse, calling it a tremendous victory. Last month, National Park Service workers took down displays that described the local history of slavery on the site, including the 9 enslaved people Washington kept there. In her decision, Judge Cynthia Roof cited author George Orwell's dystopian novel 1984, arguing the Trump administration does not have the power to, in her words, disassemble historical truths. Repair work is underway to fix a sewer line on the Potomac River, even as a political battle is raging over what's been called one of the largest sewage spills in U.S. history. In a social media post today, Mr. Trump called on the governors of Maryland and Virginia and the mayor of Washington, D.C. to, quote, get to work immediately, adding, if they can't do the job, they have to call me and ask politely to get it fixed. A day earlier, the president placed blame directly on Maryland Governor Wes Moore, who fired back, saying the president has his facts wrong again. The busted pipe is under the jurisdiction of a D.C.-based water authority and the federal government. The president has directed FEMA to assist in the cleanup. In Georgia, a public school in the city of Savannah is mourning the death of a special education teacher, Linda Davis, who was killed in a car crash that involved a man fleeing ICE agents. The Department of Homeland Security says Guatemala native Oscar Velasquez Lopez tried to evade a traffic stop early yesterday and collided with Davis's vehicle. Police charged Lopez with first-degree homicide and reckless driving, among others. In a statement, the school's principal called Davis a beloved member of its community, saying her contributions to the students and staff will not be forgotten. The top spokesperson for the Department of Homeland Security is stepping down. The person familiar with the decision confirms to the NewsHour that Tricia McLaughlin will be leaving the administration next week. The source says her departure had been planned since December, but McLaughlin stayed on following the fatal shootings of Renee Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis. In her time at DHS, McLaughlin became known as one of the most vocal defenders of President Trump's deportation campaign. Her exit comes amid growing public disapproval of the administration's hardline immigration policies. Netflix is granting Warner Brothers Discovery a 7-day waiver to restart takeover talks with Paramount. Warner Brothers had already backed a deal for Netflix to buy its studio and streaming business. Now Paramount has until Monday to come up with what they're calling a best and final offer to upend that deal. In the meantime, the Warner Brothers board is advising shareholders to stick with the Netflix offer. Its stock ended the day more than 2% higher. Elsewhere on Wall Street today, stocks ended largely unchanged. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained around 30 points on the day. The NASDAQ added about 30 points. The S&P 500 also posted a modest gain. Several major celebrations and religious observances are overlapping today. Let's start on the streets of New Orleans and Mardi Gras. Marching bands and floats cruised the streets of the Big Easy with the traditional tossing of beads and candy to revelers. Mardi Gras is, of course, French for Fat Tuesday, the last day before Christians begin the season of Lent. In Egypt, shoppers stocked up on treats and decorations as Muslims prepare to enter the holy month of Ramadan. Those observing the traditional fast will abstain from eating, drinking, and other activities during daylight hours. And in Beijing, traditional lion dancers mark the Lunar New Year holiday and the start of the Year of the Horse. Millions will be traveling to visit family, exchanging gifts, and taking steps to ensure good luck for the year ahead. And in Winter Olympic action today, Team USA made the podium in several big events but came up short in others. A warning, some spoilers are ahead. The U.S. men won silver in the speed skating team pursuit, while the women's team barely missed a medal coming in fourth. Mac Forehand secured another silver for Team USA in an epic free ski big air final amid practically blizzard conditions. And in the men's two-man bobsled, it was a fourth-place finish for the U.S., while Germany swept the event, winning gold, silver, and bronze for their second straight Olympics. Looking at the total medal count, the U.S. remains in third place with 21 medals, behind host nation Italy and overall leader Norway. Still to come on the NewsHour, how the Justice Department is being reshaped by controversial priorities and widespread resignations. Stephen Colbert calls out CBS for blocking an interview with a Democratic candidate. And a new book aims to help readers see Toni Morrison's literary genius with fresh eyes.
This is the PBS NewsHour from the David M. Rubenstein Studio at WETA in Washington, headquarters of PBS News.